1964, singer-songwriter Bob Dylan wrote a hit song that really characterized what was going on in that time period. His song was called "The Times They Are A-Changin'." Now, if that was true in 1964, think how much more true it is today. Our times are changing so rapidly right before our very eyes, and the need of the hour is discernment. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, a couple of years ago at First Baptist Texarkana, I preached a sermon series on the subject of discernment, discernment in a day of deception. And as I was thinking and praying about what to share today, that subject came back to my heart, discernment. The need of the hour is discernment. Hey, do you have discernment? Are you able to discern between good and evil? Now, many of us, when we think about that, we say, oh yeah, I can discern between good and evil because that is so obvious. One is light and one is darkness. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. I'm able to discern between the two. Well, here's the thing when it comes to the devil. He is a liar. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of lies, and he is a master liar. He's the best liar, and the best liars know that the way to deceive people is not by telling them something that is so obviously wrong. It's by telling them something that sounds good, that sounds right, that sounds true, but is wrong. You know, you can see a clock and look at it and it's 5 hours wrong, and you know without any kind of deliberation in your mind, this is wrong. I mean, if the clock says 4 a.m. and you walk outside and the sun is shining, it's obviously not 4 a.m. But if a clock is 5 minutes wrong, that can get you in trouble. That can deceive you. 5 hours, easy to spot. 5 minutes, not so easy to spot. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." I love what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about those who are immature in the faith, and it really chastises those who haven't grown. "For by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need once again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word." He's inexperienced with regard to the word of God, and he's just an infant. And then it says this, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Very interesting in the Greek there, to discern good and evil. We're talking about a clock that's not 5 hours wrong, a clock that's 5 minutes wrong. The difference in the Greek word for good and the Greek word for evil, kalos and kakos. Kalos is good, kakos is evil. The difference is one letter. Kalos, K-A-L-O-S, versus kakos, K-A-K-O-S. Just one letter. I think that is telling, because the difference in being able to discern between good and evil is not always obvious. So we have to have our senses trained to be able to discern between good and evil. I love what the scripture says about the sons of Issachar. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. They were men who understood the times. They discerned and perceived and were able to distinguish the times with knowledge of what Israel should do in the times that they lived. We need, in the body of Christ today, we need men and women, boys and girls, who are mature in the scripture, who spend time in the word of God, so that they have their senses trained to know the difference between good and evil, to discern good from evil and the better from the best. And we sadly don't have that today. We have lots of Christians who are so gullible. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the naive believes everything, but the person who is wise, he considers his steps. He takes time to view the situation from a biblical standpoint and from a biblical reference. The Bible tells us that we need to be discerning. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Hey, what is discernment actually? You know, there's a spiritual gift of discerning the spirits. Discerning, is this from God or is this from the devil? Is this from human effort and human power, or is this from the Spirit's power? Is this human error or is this divine truth? There is a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit gives us to be able to discern, but there's also the ability to grow in discernment so that you're not gullible, so that you're able to discern between good and evil. So when you hear a teaching or somebody that you respect says something and you think, I never thought about it that way, but I wonder if that is right. These times, they are changing, and the devil is very subtle and crafty. As the scripture says, Genesis 3, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And so he is going to be coming at us, maybe through people that we thought we could trust, and coming at us with the clock that's 5 minutes off, with just a little bit of error. It's truth, but it's got a little bit of error mixed in, and we need to be able to discern that. So the Bible tells us, the way we get discernment, two primary ways. Number one is through prayer. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, see, discernment is just wisdom applied. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we can pray and say, Lord, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure what to do in this situation. I'm not sure what to understand about this teaching or that teaching. Lord, give me wisdom. And claim James 1:5, because the Lord promises that he will give wisdom to those who ask him. Remember, that was Solomon's prayer. 1 Kings chapter First Kings chapter 3, Solomon was told by God, the Lord said, ask and I will give to you whatever you want. What did Solomon ask for? He asked God for wisdom, that God would give him a wise and discerning heart. Here's what the scripture said. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. Then Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And the Bible said it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you ask for yourself discernment to understand judgment, to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. And here shows the the generosity of God, the goodness of God. He's just abounding in loving kindness and truth and generosity. He says, I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. God gave Solomon what he didn't ask for, riches and honor. And there was no one like Solomon and no kingdom like Solomon's. But Solomon had wisdom. The Bible says like the sand on the seashore. He had so much ability given to him from God. Given to him from God that enabled him to understand a situation. And that's what wisdom is, discernment is. It's able to perceive, to understand, to distinguish a situation and a person and a decision. You're able to see things that other people can't see. Now, the dictionary defines discernment this way. It's the quality of being able to grasp or comprehend what is obscure, what other people don't see. It's not everybody can tell when the clock is 5 hours wrong, but not everybody can tell. Very few can tell when the clock is 5 minutes off. And that's what discernment is. It comes from the Lord. It comes from prayer. And it comes from time in His Word. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. When you take time in the Word of God, God gives you wisdom. He builds you up in the knowledge of the Word so that you can look at life through a biblical viewpoint. Because you run everything that you read through the grid of Scripture. Does this match up with Scripture? If you don't have a good working knowledge of the Scripture, you are somebody who can be easily deceived. The seminary I went to, their motto at the seminary was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. You know, the Bible is a sword. It's the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6. And if you're not skilled with the sword of the Spirit, you can start doing a lot of damage with the Word of God because you're just flailing with the sword, and you can cut yourself, you can cut other people, and in a manner that is not, you know, consistent with what God wants. So we need to be a workman who handles accurately the Word, who spends time in the Word. And let me encourage you this way. When it comes to discernment, the need of the hour today is discernment. So much fake news, so much coming at us that's just wrong. We live in a world full of liars. The media lies to us. The government lies to us. People that are in positions of leadership and positions of trust, they lie to us. Dr. Fauci lies through his teeth on all this stuff related to COVID. It's like, how do we tell what is true and what is not? Well, we need to seek the Lord and pray, God, help me to see what is true, what is not. And we spend time in the Word of God. The Lord has given us one specific book, the book of Proverbs, to help us grow in wisdom. That is the book of wisdom from Solomon primarily. And I encourage you to read a proverb every day. 31 Proverbs, 31 days in the month, most months, and read a proverb a day. I was told in college a proverb a day keeps the devil away. That was just kind of a little joke, but it's a good practice to read a proverb every day. And when you read, right before, say, God, give me wisdom. Help me to see life from your perspective. We're talking about the issue of discernment. We'll be taking your calls this hour, so we would love to hear from you. Don't go away. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff.
If you haven't switched to MediShare yet, two big reasons to at least consider it and why it makes so much sense right now. Number one's inflation, which is just affecting everything. And it makes sense to say, okay, where can I actually save? Well, you could save a lot in one fell swoop if you switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month. Secondly, your conscience. MediShare members aren't forced to pay for things they don't support or believe in, and that's a big deal for a lot of people right now. They want their money to actually help people. And one more reason, you can trust MediShare. It's been the gold standard for healthcare sharing for more than 25 years. It works, and members love it, too. It has double the customer satisfaction rating compared to health insurance. So now's a great time to consider making the switch, and they're very easy to talk to. MediShare has great customer service. You can even get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Telling Bibleless persecuted believers no? That's one of the hardest things we do at Bible League. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth, and I want to give you an update on our campaign, Stand With Them. You know, Paul wrote, the persecuted, they may be persecuted, but they're not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You know, for weeks we've been telling you about Christians who are praying for Bibles in order to endure and persevere. Ahmad is in Malaysia. He's a civil engineer, was beaten. When he came to Christ, he's praying for a Bible. Adesh is in Nepal. He's a tour guide near the Himalayan mountains. He was beaten, but he's praying for a Bible in the Nepalese language. And then Einar is in Zimbabwe. She's a widowed mother of three. Her husband was killed by the Boko Haram regime. She's not praying for an end to her suffering. She's praying for a Bible. We're in the final few days of this effort to send God's word to 16,000 Bible-less persecuted believers. We're short of this goal, and we need to wrap up in the coming days. So at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20, will you call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Debbie and I just got back from Tupelo, Mississippi yesterday. We were at the Marriage and Family Life Conference that was put on by American Family Association, had a great time there, and we're able to share with the folks and hopefully encourage the people. Our subject was on dealing with adversity and difficulty in marriage, a topic that every married couple knows about, every honest married couple knows about adversity in marriage and dealing with conflict and that kind of thing. And so we got back yesterday afternoon from our drive from Texarkana to Tupelo and back, and it was a great, great experience. Well, we're talking today about the need for discernment. The Bible tells us that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He disguises himself as an angel of light. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He comes at us not straight on. He doesn't show his true colors. He always comes in disguise. He comes speaking things that sound right, but they're just always a little bit off. It's truth with error mixed in, and we desperately need to not believe every spirit, as John said, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, some people, when it comes to this issue of discernment and wisdom applied, being able to see through a situation or a person and know what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false, some people have the spiritual gift of discernment. My wife is gifted in discernment. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gift of distinguishing of spirits, discerning spirits. Is this of God or is this not of God? I still remember years ago, Debbie and I were teaching a Sunday school class when we were in Houston, and I was still selling chemicals. The Lord hadn't called me to preach yet, so I was just teaching that class, and a couple came into our class, and man, I instantly just took a liking to them, and I said, man, Debbie, we need to get to know them better. She said, Jeff, there's something not right about them. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she goes, I can't put my finger on it. I just know that there's something not right about them. And so I demanded answers, and I said, well, you can't just say that. I mean, what is it that you see that would cause you to say that? And she said, I don't know. I can't tell you. I just know inside, I know in my spirit, we need to keep our distance from them. Something is not right about them. And I just tried to make her feel stupid because she couldn't logically tell me what was wrong with them. And so I just kind of blew off her counsel, and I got to know them. And in about, 4 or 5 weeks later, I said to Debbie, hey, we need to stay away from them. There's something not right about them. And she said, yeah, I told you that. Well, she didn't know why. She just knew inside in her heart from the Lord, hey, that situation, that person, there's is wisdom in keeping distance from them. I learned that day from Debbie, this was probably 20 plus years ago, 25 or so, that I need to listen to her. And so when we hire somebody on staff at First Baptist, for the longest time, I was like, hey, I'm not making a move until Debbie gets to meet these people, unless she gives a a thumbs up that, hey, I don't sense anything off or weird or any skeleton hidden in the closet that's going to be a problem. I wouldn't make a move until she gave me that thumbs up, because she has the gift of discernment. But what do you do if you don't have the gift of discernment? You pray, as we said in the first hour, and you spend time in the Word of God to get to know what does the Lord say about this instance and that instance and this circumstance and that circumstance, and you grow, as Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I like what one guy said. He was answering the question, what is the Bible? And he said, the Bible is God's mind in print. That's what the Bible is. And so as we read the Word of God, we're reading what God says about a subject, what God, what the Lord Jesus did when he encountered this situation or that situation or another situation. And we grow in that. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we build up Scripture in our mind. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 3, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. And so when the Word of the Lord richly dwells within us, we view situations and teachings and doctrines and circumstances, we view them through the lens of Scripture. And listen, it is a wise practice when you're listening to any teacher, anybody on the radio, anybody on television, anybody behind a pulpit, anybody that opens a Bible and says, well, thus says the Word of the Lord, you need to check that person out. You need to check out that teaching. You need to be a Berean Christian. You say, what's a Berean Christian? Acts chapter 17, verse 11. It says, but these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I tell my church often, I said, listen, when you hear me preach and I say something that may sound, well, I don't know if that's right. I said, check it out. Don't just take what I say. Check it out. You examine the Scripture. You see what the Lord says. And I often say this. I say, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what it says. And so you read it for yourself. For instance, we have people today that are, trying to say that homosexuality is good and right and fine, and God doesn't condemn homosexuality, and that's the way people were born, and that's just baloney. What does the Word say? Well, the Word of God is clear that homosexuality is a sin. You're not born that way. We're all born with a bent towards sin because we're born in sin. As David said, I was brought forth in iniquity and sin, and in sin my mother conceived me. But you're not born that way like that's your skin color. You know, my granddaughter, Lyndon, is black. She was born that way. That's her skin color. That's not any kind of sin on her part. I was born white. That's not any sin on my part. That's just how God made us. But God did not make us in a situation where we say, well, I'm just lustful. That's the way I am. That's the way God made me. So I have a pass. I can just be lustful. No, you can't do that. That's a sin. And so we have to deal with those sins. And we have to look at the things that are happening in our culture. We have to look at them through the grid, through the lens of Scripture. How does this line up with Scripture? Now, the Lord has given us His Holy Spirit to guide us into all the truth. John said in 1 John chapter 2, he said, we have an anointing from the Holy Spirit of God, the anointing that lives within. And we don't need for anyone to teach us. Now, obviously, we have teachers, but we have the resident teacher living inside. And so we can trust Him, and God will guide us into all truth, just as He promised in His Word, as we seek Him, as we look to Him. Here's how John put it, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And the Holy Spirit will guide us as we trust Him, as we seek Him, as we pray, as we ask for wisdom, and then we're able to see things from the Lord's perspective. You know, that is probably the best definition of wisdom. Is what is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. Lord, help me to see this situation. Now, when bad things happen to us and we don't understand and we don't like it, nobody likes bad things to happen. But wisdom says, God, help me to see this from your perspective. I'll give you an example. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was, but we know it was something, I believe it was probably something physical, whether it was his eyes or whether it was some problems with malaria, but I think it was something physical. I don't think it was just the Judaizers, the false teachers who came after him everywhere he went. I think it was physical. Paul didn't want it. He prayed three times that the Lord would take it from him. But the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. See it from my perspective, Paul, not from your perspective. See it from my perspective. And when Paul did, he said, wow. He said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. For I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He saw it from God's perspective, and he was able to rejoice. Hey, that is wisdom. That is being able to discern what is happening and why it is happening, and that God is at work. And see, that fits together with faith and trust. We just trust God. We know that He is working even when we can't see it. And we just rest in Him and look to Him, and our eyes are on Him until He shall be gracious, as it says in the book of Psalms. Hey, the need of the hour for us today, so that we can be good soldiers of Christ Jesus, suffer hardship with me, Paul told Timothy, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, we must be discerning, so that we don't get caught up in error. If you are on Twitter, it can be a cesspool if you're not careful. But I like Twitter because Twitter gives people the opportunity, good and godly people, the opportunity to speak the truth in love. If you're on Twitter, I'd love for you to follow me at Jeff Shreve, J-E-F-F-S-C-H-R-E-V-E. And there's an opportunity on Twitter to share the truth, to speak the truth in love. Now, a lot of people, they go down into the mud on Twitter and everything starts becoming personal. I really work to not do that and not necessarily call people out. If I have an issue with somebody, I'm going to private message them rather than just start blasting at them. But when you get on Twitter, if you get on Twitter, you have to be discerning, because lots of people that have fancy degrees and big platforms and things like that, they can say things that are wrong. And so you have to find it in the Word. You have to go back and say, okay, is this right or is this wrong? Give you an example. We celebrated when the Dobbs decision came out, the Supreme Court overruling Roe v. Wade. And you had some big platform Christians that said, hey, now we need to not be so boisterous or so vocal about our celebration over this decision, because there are a lot of hurting women out there and blah, 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 and saying all that stuff, you know, chastising believers for celebrating. That would be like chastising the Israelites in Exodus 15 for singing and dancing when God destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. No, when the decision came out to overthrow Roe v. Wade, that was a time for rejoicing. Why? Because abortion is murder. Life begins at conception. And if you take that life that is growing in the womb, that is murder. So anything that is done, a decision that is made in our country by the Supreme Court to say, hey, we are looking to curtail the murder of the unborn, that is a time to rejoice. I told our church that next Sunday. I said, we've been praying for 50 years, the Christian community, been praying for 50 years that Roe v. Wade would be overturned. And now it is, and we give thanks and praise to God, and the church responded with applause. And I said, listen, we believe that life begins at conception, and that's why we are pro-life, and that's why we believe abortion is murder, and we are against murder. The Bible is clear, you shall not murder. It's in the Ten Commandments. It's chiseled in stone. And I said, that doesn't mean that we don't love women that have had an abortion. We do, and we're here for you, and we want you to know that God's grace is sufficient for you, and you don't have to live in guilt and shame and condemnation all the days of your life, because the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, and if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to wash us white as snow. And so we made that distinction. We said, listen, if you get caught up in a crisis pregnancy, we're here for you. We want to help you. But we are not going to curtail our joy over the overturning of Roe v. Wade. That is the proper response. Discernment is able to tell when is it the time to rejoice and when is it the time to mourn with those who mourn. When is God on the move and when is He saying, be still and wait on me? It takes discernment. And that is what we desperately need today. Well, I'd love to take your calls. We're getting ready to come up on a break. But the number, let me give you the number. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Maybe there was a time that you can share with our listeners, a time where you desperately needed discernment. You needed God's practical wisdom in a situation, and you prayed. And the Lord did just like He promised in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Your story could help someone else who needs to walk by faith and not by sight, who needs to have wisdom, who needs to see life and situations from God's perspective and not from their own perspective. Wisdom comes from the Lord, and the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom, and it's the beginning of knowledge when we understand that God is God and we're not God, and we desperately need God. 888-589-8840. We'll be taking your calls after this break. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love could save a life.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments, and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called, and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about the need of the hour, and the need of the hour in our day and age is discernment. We desperately need to be able to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and error. You say, what is discernment? It's wisdom applied. It's the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, what is an insight that others just aren't normally and naturally seeing. But you have discernment from the Lord as a Christian. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have the Word of God dwelling richly within you, and you're able to see what others can't see. Well, we're taking your calls in this segment, and we're talking about people that have been able to see things in a situation from God's perspective and how it made all the difference in the world. The number to call is 888-589-8840. Well, we have Blair on the line from Arkansas. Blair, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. I'm very excited to make it on the air. I just wanted to share my personal experience. I feel that I've had just, you know, supernatural discernment throughout my life, through my childhood, and definitely through my adulthood, especially as I've studied the scriptures. But I remember thinking at a point after, you know, coming to James 1:5, which is probably one of my favorite verses, but remembering when I was in third grade, I'm dyslexic, so I struggled in school. You know, being able to read was really hard, so that affects a lot of all the subjects. But I remember being in third grade and crying, and I guess I was praying, but, you know, talking to God and just asking him to just, if I could just be able to read like the other kids by the fifth grade, and, you know, just crying and pouring out my heart, just wanting to be able to, you know, be able to do what the other kids did as far as, you know, understanding things. And I realized that that must have been the point where I had reached out to God, and I was thinking I was asking for world, what I thought was world, you know, didn't understand the difference between worldly and, you know, spiritual wisdom at that point. But I realized in adulthood that God gave me spiritual wisdom and knowledge instead of making it easier for me to function in the world with the world. So that's my testimony, and that's what I wanted to share. But I truly feel it was given by God. And if, you know, even without the true knowledge of that scripture as a child, I asked with a pure heart, and it was given to me.
Amen.
That's my testimony.
Amen. Thank you, Blair. Thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for calling in and sharing that word of testimony. I appreciate that. Well, we have Rose from Louisiana on the line. Rose, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Like your previous caller, all my life, I've been going to church. I was baptized a Catholic. My husband's Baptist. And that's a long story for another day. But anyway, last night, I had this feeling that whenever I was watching TV, turn off the TV and listen to this video, and you'll never guess what it was about. Discernment. And I'm like, I'm getting chills right now.
Because, yes.
Wait, hold on. All my life, I've had these feelings. I've seen things. I've heard things. And I couldn't explain it, okay? And a warning, okay, for my safety. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to bring up everything. But I just want to tell you that, because once I finished the video, I looked at my prayer book, discernment again. I mean, verse after verse from the Bible and teaching all about discernment. I'm like, you got to tell me something, Lord. You know, yeah. I don't know if I can handle this. I'm old. I'm a woman. You know, they always say women aren't supposed to be preachers. But at work, I feel when people come through my line, I'm a cashier, I know, and it's instinctive when they're good. You know, we talk about the Lord and things, and just spiritual things, and it just gives me chills when I think about it, and at the time, too. And they're feeling the chill, you know? And then when I see someone that, I shouldn't say that looks evil, just it's kind of like you could tell by the look of them that they're kind of disturbed, upset, just, you know, just the opposite. And they don't have to be ugly. They're beautiful, but they're, how can I say this? They use different types of makeup, maybe, you know. They have the black fingernails or really dark coloring in their makeup or whatever. But it, or even a man, I could just kind of feel it. And they don't even want to speak. That's what's really strange. They don't want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes other people do, you know. And they, you really couldn't tell if they are or not from the looks of them. And they kind of laugh and giggle and they're kind of nervous, you know. It's really funny. All right, so then this morning, I turn on the radio, I listen, discernment. I'm like, I've got a call.
Yes.
I'm like, well, okay.
Very
and
good.
I was doing art, and I'm thinking, I can't quit my job. I don't want to quit my job because I'm making money. But then he's saying, okay, spread the word. So I'm thinking, in my art, I'm going to put those proverbs. You were saying a proverb a day keeps the evil away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that I think I'm going to put on a board and decorate it and just sell it or even give it if they need it. I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
I just had to call in. And when a lady I talked to was saying, you need to just hang on, and when he prompts you, tell your story, you know? I know if I'm rambling on and I'm nervous right now, but
oh, that's okay.
You know, I listen to you and this station, and I feel like because of that, I am a better person. And everything that I hear, not everything, 100%, because I'm Catholic, but 99.99% of the time, you're straight on. Most of the teachers, you know.
Right.
And I'm so happy that y'all are doing that, because this world needs this you know, type of radio station. I wish it was everywhere, you know?
Yes. Very good. Yes. You're exactly right, Rose. American Family Radio meets a need because it speaks the truth in love in a world that's not speaking the truth, in a world that says, well, because of love, and their love, their definition of love is so twisted and perverted, we're not going to tell people the truth, and we're going to honor people's lunacy with pronouns and gender identity, and men can become women and women become men. And American Family Association, American Family Radio, it says that's ridiculous. And so I am so thankful for the Wildman family and for just the commitment that they have made to truth. The Bible tells us the last chapter that Paul ever penned, 2 Timothy chapter 4, tells us, I solemnly charge you, Paul to Timothy, and really Paul to us by the Holy Spirit, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That's the command to a preacher. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Three things, two of them are negative, reproving and rebuking. We do those two things before we exhort, and we do those with great patience and instruction. And then it says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. That's the world we live in today. People don't want to hear the truth. They have a subjective truth. Well, that's your truth, but this is my truth. Hey, truth is truth. It's not subjective. It's objective. Truth is, what does God say? Thy word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And so, Rose, thank you for calling in today. I appreciate that. Keep shining, keep sharing, and let the Lord use you in a great way. Well, we have Roy on the line from California. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I attend the church here in California, and they teach the Word of God. There's no doubt about it. But they won't talk about the culture of today, the homosexuality, the LGBTQ agenda, or they won't even talk about abortion. I've questioned them about bills that California is trying to pass, the AB 2223 bill. They won't discuss it. They won't even want me to write, send an email about it. They blocked me. And, discernment on that, they teach the Word of God, but yet, and then they have a pantry where they feed the homeless, and they give them clothes and stuff like that. But all the homeless do is gather more homeless to come and get and take
right.
and take. And, you know, they aren't trying to get them out of their situation, but just keep on enabling them. And I think, you know, I look at that and I say, well, you know, yeah, they're helping them, but they're not helping them in the right way. And so
right.
that's my discernment. What, you know, what should I take away from that?
Great question, Roy. I appreciate you calling in and asking that. I'd have a hard time going to a church that is not engaging in the culture. Here's my concern. So if people come to a church like that and they're not talking about the issues that everyone else is talking about in culture, then everything just becomes a history lesson. We're going to talk about how Moses led the people through the wilderness. That's great, but how does that relate to today? I think it was John Stott that wrote the book Between Two Worlds. The job of a preacher is to take the biblical world and to rightly divide the truth and then show how this relates to the world in which we live today. And so a preacher that is not talking about the issues of the day because they are moral issues of the day, abortion, homosexuality, those kinds of things, sexual immorality, those are issues in the Word of God. And if people don't hear from church, from the pulpit, thus says the Lord, where are they going to hear it? They need to hear this is what God says about this subject and about this issue. And I'm totally with you on the fact that, you know, food pantries and clothing closets, those are great, but it has to be with a purpose. We're not called just to feed and clothe people. We're called to share the gospel with people. And a quote from Adrian Rogers that I love, I've used it many, many times. If all we give to people is soup and soap and we don't give them salvation, all we are doing is making this world a better place from which to go to hell. We don't want to do that. That person's greatest need is not soup and soap. Their greatest need is salvation. And we need to meet their physical needs, yes, but we need to address their spiritual needs. And the Bible makes it clear, you know, you're speaking of homeless. You know, some people are homeless and they're down and out for a specific reason. They can't work. For whatever, for a physical problem or whatever. But those that won't work, which a lot of homeless are people who won't work, we're not supposed to help them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 makes that clear. If a man will not work, neither let him eat. And don't help that guy. Don't enable him to stay in his state of irresponsibility. And so I appreciate you calling in, Roy. I hope that is a help to you, and God bless you, my brother. May God give you wisdom as it relates to your church. Well, we have Caroline from Texas on the line. Caroline, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Shree. Thank you for helping me get through today. I haven't called before, so I'm a little nervous. I had a question about discernment. I had an incident in my life where I, like you, thought this person was a good person, and I felt a strange feeling in my heart about him, and I thought, well, maybe I'm just seeing into things. Maybe I'm being too suspicious. I had been hurt in my life before, so I thought maybe I'm looking at something that's not there. So how do you decide when you should really follow your heart and investigate it with it being the Holy Spirit, or if it's just you being too cautious?
Great question, Caroline, and thank you for calling in. And if you were nervous, it sure didn't come across. So you've done great in asking that. I would say this. I would pray, God give me wisdom, and I claim that. James 1:5, you know, there's a false teaching that says name it and claim it. Whatever you want, you can just name it and claim it. You can't name it and claim it. God has to name it. But when God names it and he gives a promise and he says, if you will pray for this, I will give it to you, then we can claim it. So James 1:5 is something we can claim, because God says, if you ask me for wisdom and you ask without any doubting, I will give it to you. So I would pray, God, give me wisdom here. If there's something that is not right, help me to see it. Show it to me. Open my eyes to it. And then I would get another person that you trust. So in my life, my wife Debbie is very discerning. I get her input on those things. So if you have somebody in your life that's very discerning, say, hey, I want to make sure. I don't want to make a bad decision, especially in a relationship. So you look at this situation with me and see what you see and let me know so that I can make sure to walk in the truth and not be blindsided. So great question, Caroline. Thank you for calling in. God bless you so much. Well, thanks for listening today, Real Truth for Today. And we've been talking about the need of the hour, discernment. Hey, spend time in the Word of God. Let the Word of God saturate your mind and heart. Let the Word of God dwell within you richly, and God will guide you by His Spirit in the truth. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.